From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gustina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, Amazon cancels its plan to build a second headquarters in New York City. Our political observer, Alan Shartok, shares his thoughts on Governor Cuomo's meeting with President Trump. And municipal leaders deliver a message to state lawmakers. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. Amazon has announced it's pulling its plan to build a second headquarters in New York City, citing opposition by some state and local politicians. The Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt has reaction from New York's leaders.
The company, in a statement, says after much thought and deliberation, they've decided not to move forward with plans to build a headquarters for Amazon in Long Island City, Queens. The statement points out that a recent poll showed 70% of New Yorkers wanted the project, but Amazon says a number of state and local politicians have made it clear that they oppose our presence and will not work with us. Governor Andrew Cuomo had engineered the deal, along with New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio, but he was criticized by some local residents, progressive groups, and politicians who represent the area, including Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They oppose the nearly $3 billion subsidy to the company, which is run by Jeff Bezos, one of the richest men in the world. One of those opponents is Senate Deputy Majority Leader Michael Gianaris, whose district included the proposed Amazon site. He says Amazon was arrogant and acted like a bully. He says they did not take into account the needs of the community, including adequate public transportation and the need for more schools and affordable housing.
What happened today is that the people of New York stood up, an affected community raised its hand and said, I have some questions about this deal that we knew nothing about. And instead of dealing with those questions in a responsible way, Amazon took its ball and left town.
The Democratic Senate leader, Andrea Stewart-Cousins, earlier this month recommended Gianaris to a key oversight board. It had the power to approve or reject portions of the project, a signal that the project might be derailed. Progressive groups who oppose the deal, including the organization Make the Road, called Amazon's decision to withdraw a landmark victory for our communities. Governor Cuomo did not comment publicly, but he issued a statement expressing deep disappointment. He said a small group of politicians put their own narrow political interests above their community, and he warned that they should be held accountable for the loss of a project that he says would have brought 25,000 good-paying jobs and nearly $30 billion in new revenue. Tensions have been simmering between Cuomo, a Democrat, and the newly formed Senate Democratic majority, and the differences over Amazon have brought those divisions out into the open. Business groups also expressed dismay over Amazon's decision. Catherine Wild with the New York City Partnership said the constant criticism of Amazon sends a terrible message to the job creators of the city and the world. Senator Gianaris says he hopes the failure of the Amazon deal represents a turning point for large taxpayer-funded subsidies for wealthy corporations.
This is actually an important moment, not just for New York, but for our nation. This should be a launching point to discuss the logic of these corporate subsidies that are plaguing the entire country. We saw what happened with Foxconn up in the Midwest, in the upper Midwest. There's example after example of public dollars being wasted and being given to the most giant corporations among us, and disaster after disaster follows.
Meanwhile, upstate communities that had competed unsuccessfully for the new headquarters asked the company to take a second look at their regions. Broome County executive Jason Garner in the state's economically struggling southern tier released a letter inviting the company to come for a visit. But Amazon says they do not intend to reopen their search at this time. They say they'll proceed with plans for expansion in Virginia and Nashville and at other sites around the country. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Shartok. Well, Alan,
here Governor Andrew Cuomo met with President Trump. They talked about a number of things. Specifically, the governor wanted to talk about the 2017 tax law, which the governor has blamed for a $2.3 billion tax revenue shortfall in New York. Cuomo said later in the evening on a radio interview in New York that along with Trump's economic advisor Larry Kudlow, some reforms would be necessary to the tax law and could be up for further discussion. The president also went after New York again on the abortion situation.
Well, as you know, this is an opportunity for both men to connect with their bases. In my opinion, Cuomo happens to be right and the president happens to be wrong. It is clear that they have gone after the blue states in order to make some hay so that the SALT, state and local tax deductions, were eliminated. The other thing that's interesting is that despite the fact that his signature piece of successful legislation, and I put quotes around successful, has been the tax legislation, which he said was going to help Americans. Now it turns out that, whoa, people waking up, doing their taxes and finding out that they're not as well off as they thought they were, that the money that they're having to pay is more and that the returns, which they got last year, have been diminished by a lot this year. Another piece of bad news for the president, you think?
Well, you spoke with the Assembly Minority Leader, Republican Brian Kolb, yesterday for your Capital Connection program, which airs this afternoon at 3. He pulled no punches when it came to talking about the meeting between President Trump and Governor Cuomo, now Cuomo on a national campaign to have fair taxes because of the SALT program. And he went right after Cuomo. He said he talks out of both sides of his mouth on this issue. He says New York taxes are high. Well, no kidding, Sherlock.
Yeah, he said no kidding, Sherlock. As you know, that's a cleaning up of the old saying. But look, David, this guy has so little to work with. The Republicans in the New York State Assembly are an endangered minority. It's almost as if they're not there. He has to come up with something. Every day brings bad news. New Yorkers hate Trump. No two ways about it. That's why the Senate just went Democratic, for exactly that reason. I asked him, I said, well, when you talk to your family, do you ever tell them what Trump says frustrates you? And he certainly said, yes, he did. So you can imagine this guy's got the proverbial tiger by the tail and the front part keeps coming around, the head snapping at him.
Well, Alan, there's this proposal, we've seen it over the years, to secede, have upstate secede from downstate. And when you were speaking with Brian Kolb, he brought up the issue of not only the social issues, but the economic issues that separate New York City from upstate.
Well, you know, there was a time, David, when upstate and downstate in the New York City area were commensurate, but that no longer exists. The engine that drives New York State is New York City. The Assembly is firmly rooted in New York City. Upstate, where we have assemblymen and senators who are on the tips of almost everybody's tongue, whereas in New York City, I don't know that everybody knows who these guys are, which gives tremendous power to the leaders of the Democratic Party, because when the boss speaks, everybody does what they're supposed to do. Now, they always deny that, and they always say we have full and robust conversations in our conferences. But power tends to go from the top down. In any case, Brian Kolb doesn't have any real power, that's for sure. So what he has to do is to create an impression that something is terribly wrong and people are moving outside of New York State and the city of New York is oppressing upstate, and that rhetoric doesn't really work for many people. In any case, one more nail in the coffin of the Republican Party here in New York State.
The mayors, the municipal leaders, were in Albany this week, Alan, and we have a story from our Jesse King on the program about it. The issue, don't cut our funding, but specifically Albany, the capital city, every year has to wrangle for about $12 million to keep their budget going.
And every year they get it. The problem of this year is there's going to be a deficit. And you can see the governor sitting there with his sharpened pencil saying, where am I going to get those extra $3 billion or so? And, Albany. So that's a possibility. I think everybody's going to take it in the neck. The one place that has always been the power engine of budget process has been at the educational establishment. And the schools have tremendous lobbyists. They have the School Boards Association. They have all kinds of constituent groups. And I think they're going to be the last to get cut. Now, is there enough fat in every budget so that you could find that money? Yeah, there is. But some people, obviously, are going to get hurt.
Legislative Gazette political observer, Alan Chartoff.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. Municipal leaders had a message for state lawmakers when they gathered in Albany this week. Don't cut our funding. The Legislative Gazette's Jesse King has more on the New York Conference of Mayors winter legislative meeting.
Mayors from municipalities across New York State are warning against Governor Andrew Cuomo's proposed cuts to aid and incentives to municipalities' funding. The governor's budget proposal presented the cut as a relatively painless way for the state to save $60 million, but representatives at NYCOM said it would leave some 1,300 municipalities with budget gaps. Schenectady Mayor Gary McCarthy, a Democrat like the governor, is NYCOM's executive committee president.
Villages who are getting by are going to have to raise taxes or reduce services, and we'd like the legislature to consider that impact and hopefully restore it and look for some incentives that will allow communities to continue to deliver services at a cost-effective manner.
Mayor Scott Berto of West Carthage, a village in Jefferson County in northern New York, had more pointed words. He accused the governor of trying to, quote, buy consolidation, end quote, by pressuring villages to combine already stressed departments.
Governor Cuomo has been critical of President Trump and says that his changes to SALT are a direct impact on New Yorkers. Well, in my opinion, his proposed cut to AIM funding is a direct impact to the villages and towns of New York State.
Officials urged lawmakers to increase municipal aid for the first time in a decade. Mayor Richard David of Binghamton specifically pointed to infrastructure funding, with the cost of upholding federal ADA standards and maintaining water and sewer lines. David said current funding from the state's Consolidated Local Street and Highway Improvement Program, or CHIPS, doesn't cut it.
I'll give you an example just for the city of Binghamton. Our CHIPS allocation is approximately $1.1 million annually. The cost to address the ADA compliance on an annual basis is $800,000.
One proposal officials approved of? Applying the sales tax to all internet sales in the state. As more consumers look to giants like Amazon for their everyday needs, declining local business has shrunken sales tax revenue. Albany Mayor Kathy Sheehan said the governor's proposal is a step in the right direction, but says the state needs to ensure such revenue is evenly distributed in a way that reaches municipalities.
In the city of Albany, we're fortunate. We have a sharing relationship with Albany County, and so we will see that revenue. That's not the same for all of the municipalities here, and we think that it's going to be very important that we have this conversation as the state budget is finalized.
As New York considers legalizing recreational marijuana this session, Sheehan maintains local governments should be given a share of excise tax revenues.
We are the ones that are going to have to train our police officers. We are the ones that are going to have to deal with zoning issues. We are the ones that are going to have to deal with those unintended consequences. And not a single penny of the revenue is coming to any of the municipalities that you see represented here, any of the local governments that you see across the state. That's a conversation that we need to have.
For his part, Governor Cuomo says his administration is taking a second look at the proposed AIM cuts. More than 175 mayors and municipal officials across the state attended the NYCOM winter legislative meeting, with many testifying before the Budget Committee as part of the annual tradition known as Tin Cup Day. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Jesse King.
The company behind a proposed 20-megawatt hybrid energy system in Ulster County, New York, has revised its plans, ditching the fossil fuel portion. Area residents who spoke out in opposition to the original plan welcomed the change. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn reports.
GlidePath Advanced Energy Solutions delivered a presentation to the Town of Ulster Board for a revised energy project, one that would use a utility-scale battery system only to support the electrical grid. The revised plan for the Lincoln Park Grid Support Center eliminates the natural gas and diesel elements and the exhaust stack and noise along with it. Also put to rest is the controversy that accompanied the initial proposal. Peter Rood is Chief Development Officer of Illinois-based GlidePath.
I mean, we heard loud and clear the last year that it was important for the community to see these changes. And I think what happened was, you know, the community's desire for the project, the declining costs of battery systems, and the changes and advancements in state policy kind of all have aligned now. Whereas a year ago, it wasn't clear if they would align, and that's why we weren't able to propose it then.
He says a battery-only project was not financially feasible prior to the decline in cost, coupled with the state's clean energy goals and new policies to encourage adoption of battery storage within the electric grid. Town of Ulster Supervisor James Quigley.
I'm extremely happy that the community has had their opportunity to make their inputs heard. The developer has been responsive, and we have produced a cutting-edge energy project for the state of New York in conformance with Governor Cuomo's goals.
Laura Hartman formed townofulstercitizens.org in 2018 in opposition to GlidePath's initial proposal.
Here's the revision, and wow. I mean, we couldn't be more excited. It's more than what we thought we would get. I mean, this was our dream. This was an alternative suggestion we had made. We didn't think it got any traction, and here we are, so we couldn't be happier with it.
GlidePath's Rood further describes the project.
Yeah, so the project is a 20 megawatt of generating capacity, or 20 megawatt of capacity, with 80 megawatt hours of storage, kind of storage duration. So that means that if it operates at full power, at full 20 megawatts, it can, if it's fully charged, it can output for 4 hours before it runs out of charge. And just like, you know, just like your phone or other things, if you don't run it at full power, you can run it for longer.
And he lays out what is next.
You know, we'll reach out to folks. We're hoping that people will contact us with questions so that we can either answer those questions or address them in future presentations. Pull all that together and then work through the rest of the process with the Town of Ulster. There is only one major permit, the site plan review approval.
He says tree clearing would begin in the fall with shovels in the ground by year's end. The goal is to be up and running by the summer of 2020. The new plan reduces the project's footprint from nearly 6 acres to just under 2. Quigley says it also relocates the project from the southwest side of Frank Sutile Boulevard to the northeast side, increasing the setback from residences.
It is less impactful on a construction basis, but it's more impactful because it preserves 109 acres of forest behind the residents' houses that will be forever green.
This is huge, huge and exciting news.
That's Democrat Jen Metzger, who, before being elected to the state Senate, served as director of Citizens for Local Power, a group that was fighting to stop the fossil fuel component of the project.
You know, ultimately, I think at the state level, we have to be doing a lot more to accelerate the shift to a clean energy economy, and so that, you know, our communities aren't having to constantly fight these fights, these battles of to stop proposed fossil fuel projects in their communities.
GlidePath is scheduled to deliver a presentation to the Town Planning Board Tuesday. It's GlidePath's first foray into New York.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. According to a new poll, New York voters are less satisfied with two of the state's most prominent public officials. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas explains.
The bloom is off the bush for New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. Less than a month ago, a Siena poll showed half of New Yorkers viewed the governor favorably. Pollster Steve Greenberg said at the time that Cuomo had a 51% favorability rating, noting that in the first month of Cuomo's first term, it was 70%. In the first month of his second term, 60%. In the latest survey out Monday, conducted from February 4 through 7, the third-term Democrat is falling.
43% of New Yorkers say they have a favorable view of Andrew Cuomo. 50% have an unfavorable view. It's the lowest. 43 is the lowest his favorability has ever been. 50% is the highest his unfavorability has ever been. It's only the second time his favorability rating has dropped so that it's now underwater.
Greenberg says Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer isn't polling much better.
Right now, 47% of New Yorkers view him favorably, 46% view him unfavorably. That is down from last month when 53% of New Yorkers viewed Schumer favorably and 39% viewed him unfavorably. The interesting thing about Senator Schumer is that it's related to his job as U.S. Senate Minority Leader. 2 years ago, right before he became Senate Minority Leader, New York Republicans viewed Schumer favorably 55% to 37%. Today, only 15% of Republicans view Schumer favorably, 84% view him unfavorably.
Ratings for the New York Assembly and Senate are both down, but Greenberg says they've stayed in positive territory.
Right now, the Assembly, 43% favorable, 38% unfavorable. The Senate, 43% favorable, 41% unfavorable. What's interesting, Governor Cuomo, 43% favorable. State Assembly, 43% favorable. State Senate, 41% favorable. But the Senate and Assembly are still above water. Governor Cuomo, with his 50% unfavorable, below water.
Rich as a party is a top aide to the governor.
Siena doesn't always get it right, and color is skeptical. But for the governor, Senator Schumer, Senator Gillibrand, the state Senate, and the state Assembly to all have similar across-the-board slides leads us to believe this poll is an outlier. And much like the Siena poll 3 days before the November election, doesn't reflect the sentiment of New Yorkers. We've had the most productive month in history that finally saw the passage of popular, long-stalled legislation, and we're going to continue to move New York forward.
The other thing we see this month is that a lot of the actions taken by Albany in January, major issues dealt with, from the Child Victim Act to the Reproductive Health Act to gun control laws and election reforms and gender, well, right now, voters say Albany did pretty darn good. 47% of New Yorkers give Albany a grade of A or B for the month of January. That's nearly half. Only 27% give Albany a D or an F. Democrats overwhelmingly give Albany strong grades. Two-thirds give them an A or a B. Republicans, quite the opposite. More than two-thirds of Republicans give Albany a D or an F for their actions in January.
There's more at WAMC.org.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1907, or just listen to our podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time. For more news on New York State government and politics, for the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.